my guest on the phone right now, the one and only Mr. Steve Davis. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, holding up well. I assume we all are. We're all sort of pulling together in one way, shape or the other. And congratulations to everybody at Phoenix for supplying much-needed entertainment.
Thank you. Thank you. You used to be here, didn't you?
Yeah, and I was talking to the powers that be about possibly resurrecting the programme that I used to do on a Monday evening for Phoenix, just as a sort of a couple of little specials. So maybe if I can be plonked in if somebody can't make it.
That'd be nice. That'd be good. Get you back playing a bit of soul music, a bit of dance music.
Yeah, well, I used to do a show late at night on a Monday evening, which was a little bit more left field, but it was still good fun to do it. Originally, when Phoenix first was on the air back in the, so long ago now, I can't remember when it was.
96 it started.
Yes, that's right. And it was, at the time, it only had a month licence because it was just a sort of local thing, and then it had to go off air. I used to do the soul show back then, that was a long time ago.
Oh, well, it's you know, it may have all changed a bit, but there's nobody actually does a dedicated soul show here anymore.
No, well, the funny thing is, maybe like soul music as such is sort of not currently, I don't know, it's not currently fashionable. I haven't really got a clue.
I don't think so.
I'm not keeping my sort of ear to the ground on that subject, but it may be that perhaps the age group that listens to what you'd call proper soul before it became homogenised.
Yeah, I know.
Is now sort of not, you know, and the people that used to go to clubs now sort of gone now, so therefore it's a sort of a dying breed.
No, they're still out there. They are waiting for something to come along midweek. I mean, there's loads of stuff at the weekend on other channels playing soul music, and they get a very good response. I know the people that do them, and they get quite a good response. I mean, we have a reggae show now, a dedicated reggae show.
Yippee.
On a Wednesday night, called Reggae Revival, and it's mainly 70s, 80s, a little bit of Trojan thrown in, and sometimes he plays the odd modern reggae track, but he's getting a great response from that as well. And reggae and soul go hand in hand.
Well, one of the great opportunities for community radio stations is the ability, especially in the evenings, to play dedicated specialist shows.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, during the daytime, you maybe have to pander to a different audience, but nighttime, you can build up quite a following, I think.
Yes, most definitely. I found that. I do a 60 show. I've got what they call a filler show. So, like you said, if somebody doesn't turn up and they need a show to go out, I've got some banked 60 shows that they put on. And when they go out, I've noticed later at night, they're starting to get a response as well.
Yeah. There was a show that used to be played on Phoenix, a jazz show, and that had a fantastic... a blues show. I forget the name of the guy in there, but he built up a fan following and also kept it up to date with like a website or a Facebook.
That's what it needs.
And he researched it so well as well. It wasn't just rolling up and with a bunch of records and just playing whatever he fancied. He really did sort of, you know, write out every show, and it was a great following.
That's awesome. That's what it needs. A specialist show needs a specialist presenter that knows what they're talking about, can talk and wax lyrical about some of the songs that they're playing and some of the artists that they're playing. And that's what makes it that little bit more special than say, my drive time show. Because my drive time show, it's a bit of this, it's a bit of that, it's a bit of ha-ha, it's a bit of oh dear. And I just throw it up in the air, and it goes out and tries to entertain people during the day. But I don't talk specifically about anything in particular with regards to the music.
No, I think it's satisfying a different need for that particular time of day. So you're trying to make sure you don't miss anybody out of a catchment of who may be driving along. But nighttime specialists.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Anyway, enough bigging up Phoenix FM and getting you back on the station. We're here to talk about slightly more serious things at the moment, which is St. Francis Hospice, which you are a patron of, I hear.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and it's not to get too heavy about it, but as we currently speak and sit, I think the care homes and the hospices are really under pressure.
Oh, totally.
And as a patron of St Francis Hospice, and being a local boy as well to the area, St Francis Hospice at some stage in our lives will be touched by it, either somebody we know or even ourselves.
Yeah, God forbid.
And they're struggling like everybody else is, and it's a tough time to try and get fundraising. But when you think that St Francis Hospice have in our area 16 retail stores and online stores that have had to close.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
And they only receive less than a quarter of funding from the NHS, so they have to raise $21,000 a day to cover the running costs.
And is this the running costs or just to pay for the nurses?
Yeah, for the hospice to run.
Right.
To provide like 24-hour the day care 7 days a week for the ward, and throughout the crisis even more tough because they're still allowing patients to have visitors, so special measures are in place, but patients are allowed to have one visitor a day, and it's tough for everybody.
Oh, of course.
We know that, but to start asking for funding and for donations is difficult when everybody's struggling. So one of the things that it was nice that we'd done previously was to, regardless of the amount of money you could raise, just spend a day doing something that is with St Francis Hospice in mind. Raise a fiver. Hit a tennis ball against the wall. See how many times you can do it. Get your local people. Just look, put pennies in. Whatever it is, everything adds up. But if you can think of something innovative as an idea to raise money for St Francis Hospice, that's a bit of fun as well during the time when we're all stuck indoors. Why not do it? So that in a way, that's the plan. And it's something that Barry Hearn, who was very, very much involved in St Francis Hospice as well, had instigated as one of the main fundraisers prior to that, but it seems like it's a good time to resurrect that, so we could all sort of get involved a bit more. But even thinking about what's happening and how it must be tough.
It is a terrible thing with what's going on at the moment, and people do forget. And not in a nasty way, but people do forget that the care side of things and the hospice side of things still needs to be kept going, and they're not all funded by the NHS. In fact, there's very few hospices, I think, that are funded by the NHS. They're all based on donations. And as there's all of St Francis Hospice's fundraising, outdoor activities have been stopped. And as you said, the shops have shut. Then, they need every penny they can to come in from other sources.
That's right. But they did get funding recently from the government, but I mean, it's obviously a sort of token amount, really.
Of course, how long is that going to last?
In many ways, and the other problem is, of course, without trying to get too political, this country has effectively not helped the elderly and vulnerable in this situation. You'd feel like you'd much rather be in South Korea or New Zealand coping with this, trying to protect everybody. But we've gone down another road, unfortunately. So we got to look after our elderly
as
best as possible.
Oh, yes. I mean, I had a chap come on, I think, last week to big up the care workers. And not just the care workers in care homes, but the care workers that go to people's houses after the poor people have come out of hospital and they need after hospital care. Those care workers as well, they weren't getting bigged up, but they seem to be getting a little bit of recognition now. But yes, so what other stuff apart from knocking a tennis ball up against the wall, which is a great idea? And no, it is. Listen, I've got an evil thought in my head. You see, if you find a wall next to a house and it's just the side of a house wall, try kicking a football up against the wall until the people in the house come out and tell you to stop, and you go, I'm doing this for St Francis Hospice, give me a tenner and I'll stop. And then you just
great
go
idea.
Along the houses.
Perfect. I'm maintaining a certain distance, a great idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, like if you've had in the past somebody that's been served well by St Francis Hospice, you know, just think of, you know, go to the website, make a donation. But it's not capping out stuff as much as ever think about, you know, if there's anything you can do, then lovely, you know, that would be nice.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of the fundraising activities over the summer are also, you know, being sort of cancelled. So, you know, the future fundraising, I was doing a golf day at Stockbrook Manor. You know, it's knocked on the head. You know, everything's knocked on the head, as we know. So,
yeah.
The avenues of fundraising have diminished massively. So, it's sort of, you know, all hands on deck for your local community, I think, is probably the order of the day, because you're not going to get any help from anywhere else.
No. And if you get a chance to do some fundraising, think of St Francis Hospice. Hopefully, put them at the top of your list and see if you can help them out in any way, shape, or form you can, I suppose.
Yeah, no big sell. You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Plus, they sponsor my show, so please keep me on air.
Well, perhaps you can sponsor them in return. It'd be great. Whoever, who knows?
Yes.
All the super players are all sort of sitting at home doing press ups at the moment, but I don't think I can do one.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you, mate. I wouldn't want to sit home and do press. I was talking to Snooker. My friend Stuart, who's listening, if you could say hello to Stuart in Kelvin and Hatch. He's a very, very big fan, and so is my other friend, John in Shoebriness. Stuart sent me a question, if you don't mind. He said,
yeah.
Who do you believe is the best player that you've ever played against?
I'd choose one of three, but I would put Ronnie O'Sullivan as the most naturally gifted, amazing player I've ever played against, and arguably is the best player. But two others come into the frame, which are John Higgins and Stephen Hendry. But the tricky thing is trying to judge eras, because each era of any sport gets better.
Yeah.
So you can't really, you know, you couldn't say whether George Best was as good as I don't know, some football player from the future, but you can only be as good as your era.
Right.
So Stephen Hendry, Ronnie O'Sullivan. Yeah, you know, like Ronnie O'Sullivan, I think probably can do more with a snooker ball than Stephen Hendry, but Stephen Hendry still does hold the record of 7 world championships, so you can't take that away. So,
that's true, but Ronnie O'Sullivan's an Essex boy.
Yeah, tough eras.
Yeah. And how do you think the game's changed over the last, what is it, 30 years? When how long ago now since the one big 147 break that
early 80s.
Yeah, so
yeah, yeah.
It's a good 30 years.
The game's monstrously progressed, like every golf and football, everything competitive improves. I can't think of a competitive sport where the standard's gone backwards.
Yeah.
It may or may not be any more entertaining because of that, because sometimes sport can be entertaining because of mistakes.
Yeah.
And if you get too accurate a play in any sport, maybe a little bit of the excitement of the mistakes is gone. But even so, snooker has become more attacking, more accurate. Once a player knocks a ball in, he usually knocks a lot more in. Less defensive because of that, and less tactical. And so we now see a much more accurate game, as would be the same for golf and darts.
Yeah. Yeah, they have changed completely. I mean, darts have come a long way. I think they're doing darts from home now, I heard on the news today.
That's right, yeah. Well, Barry Hearn, who runs World Snooker and also runs PDC Darts, is frantically, obviously, trying to find ways to entertain us, even though sport, I think, at the moment is largely irrelevant. There are more important things going on and more important heroes around.
Oh, of course.
Perhaps it puts things into perspective of how much of a hero somebody in the world of sport actually is.
But people still need distractions, though, Steve.
Yeah. So, but of course, you know, we all need entertainment at some stage. So,
yeah.
In the future, we're going to need some type of, you know, return to normal. So, sport is trying to find ways to operate throughout this period. And so, yeah, the darts players, I think, are playing a tournament from home. So, they're scoring their own darts. Got to make sure they're not cheating. If it goes in the 5 instead of the 20, it's a bit. You know, have you got to take your phone up close to the ball to prove it? I don't know.
Well, we're just going to have to wait and see with that. Do you reckon the world champion is going to take place this year?
Well, no, that should have started this Saturday.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd have been packed all going up to Sheffield for the World Championship. So, yeah, so I think BBC are going to be showing selected highlights from previous World Championships.
So, fair enough.
Sadly, it means that the 1985 World Championship final, Black Ball final,
yeah,
with me and Dennis Taylor, is sadly going to get another airing. I mean, I personally think that Dennis Taylor has had something to do with this virus, because that's the only way that he gets any acclaim in you. Like, who knows?
That and his upside-down glasses, let's face it.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But I think they're going to show sort of some of the great matches from the past. So, yeah. For, you know, some type of snooker will be on the television over the next couple of weeks. I think a little programme every day they've got lined up.
My dad, God rest his soul, used to love snooker. He put snooker on, that was it, he was gone. He was glued to the telly, and he never fell asleep. He loved it. Loved it.
I think an interesting fact from, obviously, a person who had the nickname Interesting.
Oh, yes, true.
David Attenborough,
yeah,
was head of sport in the early, the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, just after BBC Two, wasn't it?
Yeah, and when colour television came in, BBC were looking for something that would show off colour TV as best possible.
Yeah.
And somebody came up with the idea of snooker.
Yeah.
And also it's cheap to film, and Pot Black was born.
Wow.
And David Attenborough apparently was on the committee or the head of sport who signed that off. So we all have David Attenborough to thank for our snooker.
Oh, bless him.
Pot Black was never in black and white, except, you know, it was only ever in colour, but most of us didn't have colour TVs back in the day.
Exactly, but that's where the line came from. If you're watching in black and white, it's the one next to the red, that one.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you, it has been interesting talking to you today. It's been wonderful talking to you today. And as you're a local boy, when all this madness finishes, I'd love to get you in the studio and we'll talk a bit more music. We'll talk a bit more sport and snooker. And I'll let you pick some tunes as well.
Yes, that might be nice. And I think I was talking to Paul Golder. We're going to resurrect, have a couple of interesting alternative shows.
Oh, good.
To revisit past times.
But you can come and help me with my Feel Good Friday, because I only play feel good tunes, dance tunes, soul tunes, and stuff to lift your spirits up, basically.
Okay. I'm currently watching in lockdown. I've been watching Chernobyl and The Prisoner from the 60s. And I've just started on Curb Your Enthusiasm, so I'm on a downer.
Oh, yeah, I could tell. I could tell, but no, I think Curb Your Enthusiasm's hilarious. It's cringe-worthy television, isn't it?
I wonder what he's doing now.
Yes, so do I. Oh, right. Well, listen, I've got to get on with the show.
Okay.
It's been wonderful having you here. If you are going to raise some money, please put St. Francis Hospice at the front of your mind. And it doesn't matter, does it? If it's knocking a tennis ball up against the wall, if it's playing a game of snooker or pool at home against your brother or your dad or your mum or someone, and having a little, the loser puts £5 in the pot or something and it goes to St. Francis Hospice, something silly like that, just as long as you keep the donations coming.
Marvellous.
Thank you very much. Steve, you take care. I think I'm gonna play Dexter Wansel, Life on Mars.
Wonderful.
I love that tune. You take care. God bless. Have a nice weekend.
See ya. Bye-bye. Bye.